Grace and mercy and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of the gospel reading this morning, again, just a very small portion of that gospel reading, John chapter 1 and verse 38. Jesus turned and he saw them following, that is, these two disciples who were following, and he said to them, "What are you seeking?" Let's pray. May every heart confess your name, forever you adore, and seeking you, itself inflame to seek you more and more. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Two of John the Baptist's disciples, or at least the two that we're concerned with today from this gospel reading, heard John say, in reference to Jesus, "There he is, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And so they leave John the Baptist and they go and follow Jesus, which is exactly what John the Baptist would have wanted. As he says later on in this same gospel, he says, "He, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease." And so that day, John the Baptist decreased by two followers, and Jesus increased by two followers. And those two were Andrew, and the other one is not named for us in this gospel reading, but presumably it was John, the author of this gospel, and our church's namesake. And so they take off after Jesus to follow him. Whereupon Jesus inquires of them, "What are you seeking?" And they answer his question with another question, indicating that what they're seeking is they'd like to spend a little bit of time with Jesus. After all, they're very curious about him after John's testimony. And so they say, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" So Jesus graciously brings them along with him, shows them where they were staying. It was late in the day. But his question was really intended to be much deeper than that. What he was really asking them was, "What do you want in life that you would follow me? What are you seeking?" And that's a great question. Because everybody's looking for something, right? That's what the Eurythmics sang in their song, right? "Sweet dreams are made of these. Everybody's looking for something." Right? Everybody's looking for something. We want to find love, or maybe we want family or friends, or we just want to be accepted, or we want success and financial stability, or maybe what we want in life is adventure, or maybe we're seeking knowledge. And we have a pretty good idea what we're seeking. But I would say this morning, that's not necessarily a good thing. I know it makes sense that you got to know what you're seeking if you ever hope to find it. But the problem is that when you think you know what you want, you might close your mind to other possibilities and perhaps miss something even better than you ever imagined. It happens all the time to people. Statistically, for example, do you know that half of college students regret their majors? Going into college, they thought they knew what they wanted. But what they ended up with was a massive debt and a degree that no employers are interested in. But because they knew what they wanted, they close their minds to other possibilities, like maybe a two-year degree or a trade or maybe getting trained in the military, which could have been paths to great careers with benefits. Well, but they knew what they wanted, you see. So knowing what you want is not always necessarily a good thing, because it can give you a tunnel vision that blinds you to other, perhaps better possibilities. And so in the days of John the Baptist, the Jews thought they knew what they were seeking in their Messiah. A Messiah who would return Jerusalem to Jewish control and make Israel free again and glorious and prosperous and strong as it had been under the days of King David. They knew exactly what they were looking for in their Messiah. And so they developed tunnel vision and were blinded to the possibility of something even better, far better, than they could have ever imagined. So when Jesus asks Andrew and John, "What are you seeking?" That's a great question. The political Messiah that most Jews were seeking was a far cry from what God wanted to do. See, everybody's looking for something. Just we don't know what we're looking for. Oh, we think we know. We want what the world wants, what the world seeks after. We want power to be able to do what I want without anyone getting in my way. We want wealth to be able to buy anything we want, go anywhere we want, do anything we want. Maybe we're seeking knowledge to be able to make life better for myself or others, or maybe more nefariously to control others and use others. Or maybe we're seeking popularity. I want people to like me. These are the things that people know that they want. These are the things they seek. And they're not bad things in themselves. Each one of them could be used for the good of your neighbor and for the glory of God. But if that earthly stuff is all that you want, if that's all that you're seeking, then you are also suffering a condition that we're calling spiritual tunnel vision. You're like that rich man in Luke chapter 12, had everything he wanted, or everything he thought he wanted. He had land, crops, barns, money, the good life, good faith, good food, good drink, a life of ease, everything he thought he wanted. And yet God called him a fool because of his spiritual tunnel vision. He could not see the possibility of something even better, something eternally better. And he lost his soul. So what are you seeking? Well, without even knowing it, what you really want, what I really want, what all of us really want, is for this mess that we are living to be fixed. What we really want is the big fix to our family fights and diseases and illness. We want the big fix to war and death and crime and violence and racism and oppression. We want the big fix to poverty and hunger and identity confusion and big fix for the earth itself and the environment which has been destroyed. And we want the big fix for ourselves, for past regrets and for my propensity to hurt other people and to even hurt myself. But who can fix all of that? Well, you know, when our computer network was taken down last year by a ransomware attack and all of our files were corrupted, who do you think we turned to fix that network? We turned to the one who made it. Who knows better how to fix a thing than the one who made it? Makers make the best fixers. And who do we turn to fix a creation that has been taken down by sin and corrupted by sin's curse? We turn to its maker, who also has become its fixer, its redeemer. And in following Jesus that day, Andrew and John were looking for a Messiah like most other Jews who would do great things politically. But what they got, what they stumbled upon, was no less than the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who removes this terrible curse, God's anointed one, the Christ, the servant that Isaiah was talking about, who would suffer and die for our sins to give this world what all of us have been wanting all along, the big fix to everything that's so wrong in this world. Jesus is what we've been seeking, even if we didn't know it, or even if we thought we knew what we wanted. He is the one that we've really been seeking. And the great news for us today is that even though we didn't know enough to seek Him, He sought us. Jalal ad-Din Muhammad Rumi, more commonly known as simply Rumi, was a 13th century Persian poet and Islamic theologian and scholar and philosopher. He once wrote something that I think is quite remarkable. He said, "What you seek is seeking you." Now, his idea is that your desires, those things that you want in life, that the thing that you are seeking, that was created by the universe within you. And therefore, that which you want is an expression of that which the universe wants for you and intends for you. In other words, what you are seeking is the same thing that the universe is seeking for you. You seek it, and it seeks you. And I say that's remarkable because, you know what? That is pretty close to the truth. The differences are, we know the name of the one who seeks us. His name is Jesus. And He says, "I came to seek and to save the lost." And secondly, we know that what He wants for us is far better than what we thought we wanted for ourselves. What He wants for us is the big fix for sin and its curse, for everything that's wrong in this world and in your life. And so, in our frustrating search for peace among the nations, it turns out that the Prince of Peace has been seeking us to give us something better, a peace that is beyond understanding. In our desire to get rest from this wearisome world that we live in, it turns out that Jesus has been seeking us to give us a promise, "I will give you rest." In our ceaseless pursuit of happiness, it turns out that Jesus has been seeking us to give us something even better than we imagined, the gift of inexpressible, unconquerable joy. And in our search for ways to restore the environment, it turns out that our Maker has been seeking us to tell us that He is making all things new again. In our quest to defeat death, it turns out that the Risen One has been seeking us all along to share with us His victory over the grave. And to think, there was a time when I thought I knew what I wanted. Thank God, He sought me out anyway. He didn't abandon me to those pitiful idols that I thought I wanted. And He found me. And He gave me something so much better. He gave us Himself and the gifts of God's grace that everybody wants, even if they don't even know it. So is it any wonder then that Andrew, the first thing he did when he found Christ is he ran to tell his brother Simon Peter, "We have found the Messiah," and then brought him to Jesus? Well, you know, Andrew said that as a novice disciple. He obviously has a lot to learn. And he will, in fact, learn one day that it was not he who found Jesus, but Jesus who found him. Nevertheless, his reaction in running to his tell his brother shows us what a great privilege it is for us to be the instruments of the Lord in finding someone else. Not just to ask this world, what are you seeking? But to tell this world, we have found it. Or maybe I should say, it found us. He found us. Come see. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.